Today on The Grave Talks, we continue our conversation about the Octagon Hall Museum with Museum Director Bear Gaunt. The Octagon Hall Museum is a unique antebellum landmark in Franklin, Kentucky. It's known for its Civil War history and its paranormal activity. Andrew Jackson Caldwell began building this unique family home in 1847. It isn't your typical home with four exterior walls. This home is built with eight walls, making it octagon shape. The construction wasn't completed until 1859. During the Civil War, it was occupied at different times by both the Confederate Army and the Union Army. The Octagon Hall has also been a Masonic temple, a hospital, and is regarded as one of the most haunted places in the South. From the Caldwell family, slaves, Confederate, and Union soldiers, they've never left the property. I'm Carol Hughes, and on this episode of The Grave Talks, we talk about even more hauntings at the Octagon Hall Museum with Museum Director Bear Gaunt. Do you have any spirits there that seem to be more active or more known? Yes, I'm going to take that giggle.
It's really funny because I walk in the house and the first thing I will say, I open the back door and I open the door to the basement. I go, "Hello, basement people." And then what's weird is to hear a disembodied voice going back says, "Hello." And then I walk into the floor and I go, "Hello, Caldwell's," and all the rest of the people in the house. And then they go, "Hi, Bear." You'll hear disembodied. You'll hear all that kind of stuff. I'll hear my name called as I'm walking by. There are several people that are there a lot. But there's other people that appear there that, you know, the list of names that people get there just continue to grow. And I've heard several of the names over and over and over again. But it never fails. For example, last week there was an Ethel there. Never had Ethel the whole time, but she was in the house and she wanted to know that she died in the woods.
Really?
Well, and she was murdered. That's what she says.
So she wanted that to be known.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It was important to her. I mean, that's, you know, what you're trying to do as your paranormal investigator. You know, it's being respectful, it's being all these things, but the key factor is to allow them to tell their stories. That's what you want to hear, and that helps you fill in history because that's easy to check down on and chase down, and they want their stories known.
Do you think the basement is the most active in the whole house?
People ask me all about that, Carol, all the time. They go, "What's the most active place in Octagon Hall?" And I'm like, going, the whole damn place.
The whole place. Because a lot of places have more activity in one location or another, but this is just
everywhere. A lot of places do. I can tell you right now, there's days when you can go in the upstairs and it will just be off the charts. There are days when you can sit in the living room and it's off the charts. There are days, in the dining room or the parlor. There are days that you can go downstairs into the basement and it's off the charts. And then there's days when you don't want to sit in there.
It's that bad.
It's that bad. You know, for me, they know me. And one of the worst feelings about it is when there's nobody there and I'm there alone and they decide that they want to come say hi to Bear. It's not just one of them. You feel that pressure all the way around you. You know, you know that they're all there and it's like going, "Hi there." And then they start talking and you hear them whispering between themselves. I mean, sometimes you just go nuts. And that's why I'm always happy to have people come in and stop by and say hi and tour the house because they're like going at the same time, "Did you hear that voice?" And I'm going, "Yes, I did hear it."
With that much activity, and this is a question I ask people frequently because I'm interested in your answer. But with that kind of activity you have, where you work, you spend a lot of time there. I'm going to guess 8+ hours a day, if not more, because a place like that needs a lot of upkeep. How do you keep them from going home with you?
It's pretty simple. I just ask them not to. And, you know, the things we're dealing with are intelligent spirits. Okay. And we always will say, when I leave the building, I'm one of those guys that say, Hey, I'm heading home. I'll see you tomorrow. Don't follow me home. I'll be back to see you tomorrow. I tell people, just tell them you're coming back to see them later. Now, there are people that don't do that. There are people that don't believe in that. There are people that don't. And those are the people that are going to call you and say, I think I picked up something in Octagon Hall. Can you come get rid of it?
Come get it back.
Yeah. You know, and the other thing about it is that some of them do come to the house. I mean, they do come to the house. They follow me to the house. Or if something's going on at the hall, believe me, they're going to come and tell me. I know that sounds weird, but being there for the amount of time I've been there, it is, they have open communication. The spirit communication is amazing. People think that they're just in that house and they stay there. They don't. They can travel anywhere mm-hmm. you want. Mm-hmm. I mean, and they can interfere with you all the time. You know, it's just your strength and your belief to keep them away. Just say, hey, stay this way. But some people have a lot of problems with them. And that's one of the other things we've done for a long time is in the paranormal, we love to help people out. We clear a lot of homes. We do a lot of stuff like that for people that don't understand the paranormal. We're trying to get them to either live with them and understand that it's okay. But some people just won't have that. They don't like that. So.
And do you find with the investigators, do they frequently, like I read about a man where it's like he's dragging his foot or something that.
Yeah.
Obviously, that's not new to you.
No.
But is
no,
that
no,
one
no.
of the more common ones or the soldiers? Are those the
well,
more
we
common
call
things?
Him Eddie. We call him Eddie. He died at the Huntington Hall later in the war. You know, because when you're looking at the history, you have to remember. Yes, we had 9,000 Confederate soldiers, 5,000 Union soldiers there in 1862. But the war went all the way around us all the time. They were traveling back and forth. There was things going on, guerrilla activity, derailing trains, everything else. So in 1864, this character decides he's going to try to derail a train. Well, the train he derailed had Union soldiers on it, and they were waiting for something to happen. For someone to do something to the train. So guess what happens? They end up shooting him in the arm and the leg. And what does he do? He jumps on his horse and rides to where? Caldwell's house. They put him inside. They can't give him any medical attention or anything else. They throw him upstairs in the attic. And they hide him there. And the Union, they get rid of the Union. And then they go up to get him. And that leg wound that he had in his, unfortunately, must have been the bothering, and he took his boot off. Now, when he took his boot off, that was compressing his wound, and he bled to death. And he's still up there. That was in 1864. We found a guy on the front porch in 1865, near the end of the war, who was gut shot, made it to the house, assuming that he was knocking on the door, but never woke anybody up, and they found him the next morning dead. Now, they're buried out back as unknown soldiers. So, yeah, they're there also. Eddie is what we call him, and he walks with one heck of a limp, and he drags his foot. And there's nothing like hearing Eddie walking down the hallway when you're sitting there in the dark. And we have motion sensor lights in it, so we will unscrew the light bulb, so the motion sensors will still click as you're going through it. You'll be sitting in a room in the like the library, and the next thing you hear is step, drag. And then you hear click. He just set off the first motion sensor. Step, drag, and he's like going, oh. He's coming to see us.
What's some of the most compelling stories that you've heard from investigators or even more that you've experienced while you've been in the house or the property, the surrounding property?
I'll be honest with you, Carol. When I think of the stories that I have and I've seen there, they change. Every day I'm amazed. I have seen stuff there that just will frost you. I mean, I go, wow. The other day I had a group out there and we have a slave shack loom room that burnt down. We had to burn it down because it was infested with termites, and a windstorm took it, so we burned it down, and the chimney's still standing there. Well, while we were sitting out there with about six people, the damn thing appeared in the middle of the night and disappeared right in front of our eyes.
Oh.
You know, those portal things, these creatures that are, I could swear to you, and you're going to laugh at me, I could swear that I was buzzed by a pterodactyl one night.
And I don't even know what that would feel like.
Well, it was a lot of wing noise, like, and a, I thought, I better lay on the ground because it's the safest place for me.
On that property, though, picking up on that, so different kind of cryptids and spirits and aliens.
We have everything out there. I mean, we have seen Native Americans walking around because, like I said, it dates back. That property is ancient.
And then in part where it was built is also kind of attracting things.
Right. I mean, it's on ley lines. It's on, you know, it's just a perfect place. And I'm sure that Andrew knew about it. And I would guarantee you that most likely there was stuff happening there at Andrew's time also.
So you think it goes all the way back?
I do think it goes all the way back. I think this stuff's been happening there forever. There's just no reports for it. You know, one of the things that you have to look at, and this is part of the history of our country. In the late 1800s, or from right before the Civil War and right after the Civil War, in the county that we're in, Simpson County, they would find giants. These are 10 to 12 foot long people, bone structures. They were so odd that their mouths were so large you could put a human head in their mouth, and they had two rows of teeth. Now, these people don't talk about those now. You don't hear about that. That's hidden history, but there are many, many cases of them digging them up on these farmlands from this area.
Okay, that's terrifying.
You know, that it's just one of those things. History is written by the winners, and it's always changed. And it's, you know, whatever they want you to believe in, they're going to have you. It has just been, it's amazing. I don't know what's going to happen out there. One day I may be walking through the field. There's also, that's the funny part. When I started to say that, it just clicked in my mind. There are stories about farmers. Back in the days, they would do their farming. It was a very slow process, of course. They had mules that they were using and everything. So the wives would take their kids out for lunches a lot of times on the weekend or whatever the dad's working out there. And they would meet and they would have a lunch, and then they'd say goodbye to the kids, and he'd walk back out in the field to his plow and continue doing his job. Well, there are several cases of where dad would leave, and mom and dad and the kids were waving at him, and the next thing you know, he just disappeared. Never came home again. As they were walking, they saw him disappear. There's one case that's well documented that the mom and the kids talked to the dad for 20 minutes, never saw him, but he was there speaking to them, trying to find his way back to them, and never could.
That's some creepy stuff.
Welcome to Auntie Hall. Right? Can't wait to see you, Carol.
Now I'm too afraid to visit. I think it's amazing, though, that you kept this building is still standing, actually.
Yeah, we want to keep it that way. We've got a lot of work to it. It is a 176-year-old house, has a lot of problems. But lately here, you know, everybody's been experiencing a lot of bad weather. You know, and let me tell you something, the weather is frightful up here sometimes. The winds have just been, in the last 3 years, I've never seen winds like this. You know, sunny day outside, the wind gets up, and then we'll have an 80-mile-an-hour gust or a 90-mile-an-hour gust. And we're just not used to that. We never had that before. But we've had a lot of tree damage. Just recently, last month, we had a storm come through, and it just ripped the top of the barn off. It picked up, broke trees off, destroyed our well. And right now I'm in the process of putting estimates together. Isaac Jones, the executive director of the Octane Hall Foundation, which is Billy's grandson, we're so happy that he's interested in it. And hopefully he's getting married at the end of the year and they'll have kids. And Octane Hall will be there for 50 years. Because if you wouldn't have talked to me in 50 years, I'll be there haunting the place.
We'll just walk in and say, hey, bear.
Yeah, that's exactly. Be prepared for the reply.
And obviously, I have not been there, but it was interesting because there's so many videos that you can watch online that a lot of times in a museum like that, you walk up to a room, they're cordoned off with a red rope, a little red velvet rope, and you get a peek in the room. You get a walk into every room and every space there.
Yeah. We have it filled with antiquities. We have it filled with period stuff. We are, you know, Billy was this way. All the time, Billy and I talked about it. We hate to go to these places. There's these places that, got to watch what I'm saying because I have gray hair now. But we used to call them, these gray hairs won't let you do anything. You know, you want to look at stuff, but it's part of the experience to be able to walk through the house, walk in the floors that they walked on, walk into the rooms, see the rooms. We let you take photos of everything. It's a memory. Keep it. You know, it's just a wonderful thing to be able to do. And so many places are like, oh, you can't go over there and look at that. Well, I've got the same dishes that they got sitting out. Yep. And I don't lose any. But it's something that allows people to get up close and personal.
And so you can go when you visit there, you can go into the basement, you can go up the stairs. Because a lot of those places, too.
I got a cannon sitting down there. So we want you to see the cannon.
Oh, wow. So you can go through it on a self-guided tour. Do you do guided tours?
It's self-guided. Self-guided. We will. I mean, we find that the people really enjoy just walking through it. Mm-hmm. You know? And then we also let people, you know, it costs $5 cash. Where can you go for an afternoon? We guide you. You can walk in and out in 2 seconds if you'd like. We'll talk to you about the history and everything, maybe 20 minutes or so. We'll tell you some ghost stories if you want to hear it. Most people would rather hear about the Civil War history. But we cater to all of it. Sometimes I'll say, bring your paranormal stuff. If you want to try for EVPs or if you want to carry around an EMF detector or whatever, go ahead. Take pictures. Take as many pictures as you want because we can't tell you how many people find and catch things in there, EVPs, all kinds of stuff. So we're open to all that.
People can rent it out for the night, right?
Yes, exactly. And we do rent it out. We rent it out from about 3. We close our doors at 3 o'clock. During the day, Wednesdays through Saturdays, we're there from 9 o'clock to 3 o'clock, and we go home. But if a team wants the house, they can book it Monday through Sunday, 7 days a week. They can book it for currently right now. We're possibly looking at changing it, but it won't change much. We're at $300 for 6 people. If you have more than 6 people with you, it's $50 a person over that. We don't like you to have more than 10. We're there. You get it from 3 o'clock in the afternoon until 7 o'clock the next morning. I sent you a picture. I was down in the basement area. I was sitting on the stairs, and I was looking in the attack room, and I sent you a picture. And that was with a full-spectrum camera, and I was looking into the attack room. And as I'm watching through the viewfinder of the camera, I see this mist start coming up and it starts forming into something. And I'm just waiting. I'm just looking at it going, wow, this is amazing. And then all of a sudden this forms into this weird thing. And I take a picture of it. right when she's staring at me.
Yep.
That's she's what, yeah. She's looking directly at me.
And it definitely is the form of a woman.
Yes.
And there's a couple in the, it looks like the outbuilding. There's one during, you can see the sun coming in to that one.
Yeah, you can see the, I mean, that one thing in the center of the building is not a human being. And if you
look
to the left.
Well, and it looks like just a guy working.
Yeah. It does. It does. And there's a guy also kind of like laying up in the crib over there. If you look off to the left of that photo, you'll see the guy in the center. And then there's a guy off to the side kind of laying down.
Then there's another one that's taken out there. And it that one looks like a woman.
You know what's funny about that?
I can't tell. Maybe a woman in a long dress. But it definitely is a form of a – you can see hands, arms, head.
Yeah. Yeah, you can see hands, arms, and head, the whole nine yards. And the funny thing about that picture is I think that's the one picture of a spirit that I definitely know who that is. I think that's Harriet. In the dining area, we have a picture of Andrew and Harriet, the second wife, together. And it's funny because as I, you know, we told you about the story of the union coming and being bad and everything else. Well, Harriet loses her left hand during that time by it being cut off by a soldier.
Oh.
For something she was interfering with. And so she gets a wooden hand. And the picture that they took in 1863, a little bit over a year later, you can see the wooden hand that she has, and it has a thumb that sticks up straight up in the air. I use it for a push-pull. But when you look at the left hand on that, you can tell that it's like it's different than the right hand.
Yes.
And it bows out a little bit. And
where the thumb would be.
And if you look really interesting, you'll see a thumb sticking out of the side of the hand straight out. So I would probably say that may be Harriet sitting there looking at him.
Because the left hand does look different than the other hand.
It does.
I'll have to post these on our Facebook page so everybody can see them.
Please do. Please do. I'd love to think. I was trying to send you the movie of the, we have doors that shut all the time and everything else. And we had a camera catch one upstairs. And one of the, maybe you can see it on Facebook or on our Facebook page.
That might have been where I saw it because I did see it. And no one was there.
Yeah.
And then there's a weird shadow, too.
Yeah.
Is that the one? And there's this shadow that wouldn't have been caused by the door because the shadow looked like a person.
Oh, no. Yeah.
It's really strange.
Yeah, it is strange.
You can find that on there.
I tried to debunk that. I tried to debunk it in the morning when we caught it. And you know, it's, we always wonder when we have doors that are open or doors that are closed and are, oh, some of them are closed. And, we check the film a lot and it is, I looked at that and I try to do it in the morning. So we ended up going back. I mean, 3 o'clock in the evening, I got to go back 3 o'clock in the morning. I got to go back there and see what the lighting's like and see if I can open the door, shut the door, see what I'm seeing, and couldn't recreate that at all.
Because I was fascinated by the door, and then I think I read in the description something about a shadow. So then I watch it 3 or 4 more times, and I'm like, it looks like a person's shadow.
It is a person's shadow.
Yeah, it doesn't look like anything that would be caused by a door. And you can see that on their Facebook page, Octagon Hall Museum. This has been such an interesting conversation.
Ben, I thank you for having us on and to be able to talk about Octagon Hall. It's such a pleasure. If anybody wants to know more about Octagon Hall, they can find us at our website at www.octagonhallmuseum.com. Come take a look at the website. And if you're looking for a paranormal investigation, contact us. There's numbers. There's all kinds of ways to do things there. So,
yeah, you can get all the information right there, octagonhallmuseum.com. Hey, Bear, thank you so much for doing this today.
Carol, it's my pleasure. Anytime.
And that wraps up our conversation about Octagon Hall Museum with Bear Gaunt. For more information about tours and paranormal investigations, go to their website, octagonhallmuseum.com. If you'd like access to all of our episodes, including the archive and advance episodes, everything commercial free, you can become a gravekeeper. Sign up on Apple Podcasts. You can try it 3 days free. You can also go to patreon.com/thegravetalks and find everything there. It's also all ad-free. For all of us here at The Grave Talks, I'm Carol Hughes. Thanks for listening.